Christian Ponder. Christian, how you doing? We're way over here.
I'm good. Can you hear me?
What's going on, Christian? How you doing?
Just hanging out, man. Hanging out.
Well, you got a left tackle. How you feel about it?
I'm excited. I mean, he's a heck of a player. Obviously had a great career at USC, so we're excited. We're happy to have him on.
Christian, it was a tough year for you. If there's been some talk about how injured you were playing and how much pain you were playing through over the course of the season, you want to talk about, you know, now the season's over, you want to talk about what it was like to go through an injury-filled rookie year?
Yeah, it wasn't fun. I had a banged-up hip that I injured a couple times, and you had some other issues, but, you know, that's football. I mean, it's a physical game, so those things are going to happen, and you got to fight through it. So, it makes football all the more fun, so...
Now, Christian, in your first season at the helm, what was harder than you thought it was going to be? I know you knew it was going to be a difficult task to be the quarterback for an NFL football club, but what was surprising to you?
Everyone talks about it, and it's become a cliche almost, is the speed of the game, and it's so true, though. And I tried to prepare for it, but there's really no way of preparing for it until you get out there and play. And the more experience you get, the slower the game becomes. But defenses are so much more complex than they are in the college level. Thank you. And it's something you adjust with on the fly. And the more film I watch, the more experience I get under my belt, the better it's going to become. And 3-13 wasn't too fun. It's not something to be too proud of. But next year is only going to make us better.
Christian, last one. When you look back at the 11 games you played, and when you were fully healthy from sticking that touchdown on Charles Woodson with Michael Jenkins at the beginning to getting knocked out of the Lions game at the end, with the things on which you need to improve, do you find most of them to be things where you can be taught, and if you have the full off season, given you're so teachable, that you don't have any concerns into next season?
Yeah, everything's is easily correctable. It's not something I can't overcome. I mean, a lot of it was mental mistakes, and those are easily correctable. I mean, I've seen it gone film, and when you see those things, it's very frustrating to watch some of the mistakes I made, but that almost gives me full confidence in myself that, hey, these things are easy to correct. I've seen myself make these mistakes, and I won't do it again. And I'm just excited for the season to start. I wish it was starting tomorrow, so I can go out there and prove myself.
Thank you, Christian.
Yeah,
thank
of course,
you.
PA. Thanks, guys.
Good luck, okay? Christian Ponder, ladies and gentlemen, signing autographs over there and everything. And we thank help with the facilitating of Christian Ponder. So Mark Barron goes to the Buccaneers at 7. Ryan Tannehill, the quarterback, goes to the Dolphins at 8. Carolina takes middle linebacker Luke Kuechly from Boston College. Stephon Gilmore, a cornerback from South Carolina, goes to Buffalo. Buffalo addresses defense despite its big-ticket investment being quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that's conspicuous. Dontari Poe, a defensive tackle from Memphis, who was a bit of an enigma at Memphis, had an unbelievably impressive combine and offseason, enough to sell the Kansas City Chiefs on taking him at the 11th overall selection. Fletcher Cox. In a draft that's very deep on defensive tackles, Fletcher Cox, widely considered the best of the bunch. Mm-hmm. He goes 12th to Philadelphia, traded up to get Fletcher Cox. Michael Floyd, Creighton Darum Hall, Notre Dame. He goes to the Arizona Cardinals at 13. And the St. Louis Rams, most recently, they selected, who did the Rams take at 14 again?
Rams took Michael Brockers.
Michael Brockers, defensive tackle from LSU. Mm-hmm. And the 15th overall selection, the Seattle Seahawks, with the most obscure name in the first round so far. They take Bruce Irvin, a linebacker from West Virginia.
I had a third-round grade on Bruce Irvin. He was the last outside linebacker I bothered to look at. I'm stunned by this.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the moves that Seattle has made in the last couple of years, and you scratch your head. I mean, they better
bringing in Tavares Jackson and giving him the keys to the offense.
That's one of them.
That's a baffling move,
right? And then you hope that he would that they come out and they say, we got our guy, because. He better be yours, because you guys paid just way too much for him.
Okay, we pause, and when we come back for our final segment at the Miller Lite Vikings Draft Party, Mall of America Field in Minneapolis, we'll continue to talk about Matt Khalil. We'll also talk about options at 35, maybe 66, and get you set up for the rest of the draft. Preview the season a little bit, and I want to tap into the mind of Pete Bursich, former coach in the NFL, as to exactly what offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave can do by having the likes of tight ends John Carlson and Kyle Rudolph. John Carlson of Litchfield, brought in via free agency. He'll be a big part of the offense this year. Let's find out how utilizable he is with Pete Bursich. Paul Charchian's here. I'm Paul Allen. And at Mall of America Field, we'll be back shortly to the Miller Lite Vikings draft party on The Fan and the Minnesota